And this crowd in Corinth had heard that there was this thing called communion. It was a party. There were free food. They didn't just do like a couple of crumbs and a little thing of grape juice, but they kind of had a big celebration where they'd eat, and the guys would come there, and they'd come early so they could take doggy bags home. You know, like in some churches where you have a love feast, and then, you know, by the time you get there, there's no food, and you see three people leaving with doggy bags. So it was like that environment where people weren't caring for each other, they weren't honoring each other, they weren't caring for one another. They were just all wanting to have this big party. Some of them were saved, some of them were unsaved. And Paul writes into this context, and he says, I'm not very happy with what's going on. Don't you know this is the Lord's table? This is like a special thing that's going on here. I think if Paul was writing to some churches today, he would be writing and saying, stop being so religious about it. Stop being so sad. This is a celebration. He would say, it's not just a superstitious little activity, like in the Middle Ages, when they took the bread, it supernaturally was transubstantiated into the actual flesh of Jesus. And when they took the wine, it supernaturally transubstantiated into the actual blood, the actual real blood. And that was the superstition that they held over the minds of the people. And Paul writing into these different contexts would say, don't be so superstitious. Don't be so uncaring and selfish and greedy when you come together. If he was writing today to some churches, he'd say, stop being taking yourself so seriously and looking so sad and so somber. But I'll tell you something else he'd say. He'd say, you need to understand what the communion is all about. Amen? Because I think for a lot of us, when we come around the table and we take the bread and we take the cup, and I'm sorry, I'm going to talk a little bit here. So if your fingers are feeling sweaty, you can put it on the chair next to you, or just hold it. But I just want to talk into this a little bit this morning. Because for most of us, we've understood the significance of when we take the cup. It's Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant for the forgiveness of your sins. So when we partake in this communion, we are celebrating the greatest miracle that ever happened, which was that you as a dead to God person were born again and made alive. But you see, we can just go through the motions of this and not properly discern it. And Paul, the context of this is that there were divisions and they were getting drunk and they weren't caring about each other. And he says in verse 25 of verse 11, I wonder if we can have this up, of chapter 11. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant. Whenever you do this in remembrance of me. And whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And he then says, whoever eats and drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body of the blood of the Lord. Because they weren't doing it for the real purpose of what it was. And they were unsaved people who hadn't even responded to the grace of God or accepted the forgiveness of their sins. And they were partaking of this table for selfish means. And he's saying to them, that's not what was intended, and this is an unworthy way of doing it. And then he goes into verse 28, and it's quite strong. It says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks... Oh, we've not got this verse up here. Oh, it's 1 Corinthians. Sorry, should have just shouted from the back there. You see, when you got born again, a miracle happened inside you. You became a new creation. You were put in right standing with God. But when you were born again, did you notice your body didn't just the next day be completely different? If you're a little bit gray on your temples, you're still a little bit gray on your temples. You know, if you're a little underweight before you got born again, you're still a little bit underweight. It's a nice way of saying it. So the body hasn't caught up with the born-again spirit yet. But when you were born again, it was an instantaneous, the finished work of the cross meant you are 100% in right standing, justified before God. You're a new species, a new creation. You can take it off until I ask for it, please. And now the mind has to catch up to the new spirit, and the body even has to be changed. Because from the fall of man, man could have lived forever. He had a healthy body. It was always God's intention for his body to be healthy. But through the fall of man, his body comes into decay, comes into atrophy, and gets old and ages. And that's the way it is. And in 1 John 3, verse 2, John says, above all else, I wish you prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. In other words, it started in your soul. You were born again. You became a new creature. But now that has to have an outworking into the rest of your life, including our physical health. You know, we're not going to need physical healing when we get to heaven. We'll be physically healed. We need physical healing in this life. You know why? Because we've got a job to do. We've got a job to tell about what Jesus did at the cross and in our lives. So when we come around the table and celebrate communion, we are remembering the Lord's death. We're proclaiming it. We're preaching it. But if we do it in a way that's just ritualistic, then what's the word he uses? Unworthy manner. If we're doing it in a way that's just hyper-spiritual, it's an unworthy manner. If it's done in a way that's drunkenness and unsaved people just taking advantage of it like they were in Corinthians, then unworthy manner. So he says that's not a very clever thing to do. And now can we just look at that verse in verse 27. It says, therefore, whoever eats or drinks in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body of the body of the Lord. Because, you see, it was our sin that put Jesus on the cross. The Romans killed him with the high priest's intention to have him killed, and they were guilty of the blood of Jesus, as all of us were. We were all in this camp of being responsible for the death of Jesus, because it was for our sin, but it does us, profits us no good if we don't put our faith in it. Then Jesus would have died for our sins, but we will still be separated from him for eternity. Verse 28. Now he's starting to get into their situation. He says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Now, thank you. The world stands condemned. And that included all of us in that condemnation. You got that? When we are born again and are translated into a new kingdom, we move out from under condemnation into right standing with God. In this right standing with God, our spirit is born again, but our mind is catching up, and God's will is for us to be in good health. He wants you healthy. He's the God who heals you. That's why it says in Isaiah 53, by his stripes you were healed. And then in Matthew 8, it says the same thing again, by his stripes you are healed. But then in 1 Peter, it says, by his stripes you were healed. God wants us to take the children's bread, which is healing. Because he wants us well enough to get on with the job that he's called us to. You cannot glorify God when we're sick in the body. Now, back to this passage. I used to almost live in fear and trepidation. I was a young assemblies boy, saved, newly saved, going to communion on a Saturday night. Hope there's no sin in my life. Because I'd have a time of confession, but maybe if I miss something, and I took the bread and took the cup, I'd get sick. Because I haven't correctly discerned the Lord's body. That was the picture I had. I don't know, maybe some of you were out there. So, in other words, what I was believing was, I'm healthy and I'm fine, but I dare not take the Lord's table because the moment I do that, if there's sin in my life, I'm going to get sick and die. I mean, how dumb can you get and still breathe? You see, to correctly discern the Lord's body is to discern, is to differentiate. It's to recognize that in the same way that by His blood all my sins were forgiven, past, present, and future, that by His broken body I have access to healing in my life, and I don't have to stay sick and die prematurely. Do you get that? You see, the whole world, if I don't ask you this morning, who's struggling in some area of sickness? I guarantee you there'd be a lot of hands come up. If you go to the workplace and say, is there anybody at work who's not feeling well? I guarantee you hands will go up. Why? Because we live in a world of atrophy. We live in a world where there's sickness and germs and fallenness. And our bodies are still in this physical world, even though our spirits are born again. And we have the same viruses and flu viruses and Hong Kong viruses that try and attack our body. And what this is saying is, rather than fall under that condemnation of the world system, God has given you a way out. That if you correctly discern His body, not only were all your sins forgiven, but all your sicknesses were on Him as well. And you can live in the children's bread. And He says, but if you're not doing that, then you're going to be part of the what is happening out there. There's a whole lot of sickness. There's a whole lot of premature death. And you know, as Christians, we can say, well, you know, it just has to be God's will. You know, He died. You know, we prayed and trusted God. This is what I would have said a few years ago. We trust in healing right up until a person dies. And then we say it was God's will. I'm not so sure anymore. I'm starting to think that's maybe an easy way out. I'd rather be like the disciples when Jesus came down the Mount of Transfiguration and cast out that demon. And I say, Lord, why couldn't we do that? Then say, oh, well, it must have been the Lord's will. Hello? Because He's just sovereign. Yeah, He sovereignly decided that when we correctly discern the body of Jesus, His blood and His body, we can live in the children's bread, which is healing. So that's His perfect will, that's His sovereign will, and we can either live in that, or we can just keep depending on our medical aids. One of the, I mean, both, if you want to. I'm not against medicine, I'm not against doctors, I think it's all wonderful, but I believe that what this passage is talking about here, where it says in verse 28, a man ought to examine himself. Verse 29. Anyone who eats or drinks without recognizing the body will stay in judgment. Can you see that? That this is why many of you are still sick and weak, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, if we came to a place where we said, the same miracle that applied to all my sin when Jesus died on the cross, that same communion, when I take the bread, means I don't have to live under condemnation and under a fallen world system as far as the body goes. You understand? I'm not saying our spirits can ever be condemned again. But our bodies can live below the rights that God has intended. And if we're not, we don't have to feel condemned because we live from our spirit out. We don't pray as sick people who need God to heal us. We pray as healed people who the enemy is attacking us with sickness, and we're standing on the finished work of the cross saying, God, I need a miracle in my body. I'm not running to God saying, oh, I need you to take this sickness away. I need you to move this mountain in my life. No, we go to the mountain saying, by His stripes I was healed. When I properly discern the Lord's table, not only am I celebrating the greatest miracle of all my sins forgiven, but I'm celebrating the fact that I can walk in health and I can walk in healing. You see, because the teaching I had as a young Christian that made me feel a little bit guilty, because now I had to judge myself. I had to examine myself. So I had to go through all my sins. And if I missed out one, possibly I could get sick. You know what that erroneous, demonic, diabolic teaching was actually reinforcing in my life? You know what? That all my sins weren't forgiven. If I take this cup and I don't believe all my sins are forgiven, I am not discerning the Lord's blood. If I take this bread and still believe that God doesn't want me well, I'm not correctly discerning His body. So this is not to make you feel guilty. This is just to release us. This is to make us realize we don't have to live below our rights in terms of the atonement, what Jesus purchased for us on the cross. And if you've got an area of sickness in your body, which is very possible because, as I said, let me just rewind. You live in a fallen world where there's sickness and you'll be attacked by the same germs and viruses that your neighbor is being attacked by. But if you don't want to stay sick and die prematurely, then you have to live by faith in what Jesus did. And around the communion table is when we take the bread and we take the blood and we reinforce the finished work of the cross. If we don't do that, the Bible says, that is why, verse 30, that is why many among you are weak and sick and a number of you have fallen asleep. So let's rather, he's saying to them, judge yourselves. Some of these guys weren't even born again. They hadn't even appropriated the blood of Jesus to the forgiveness of their sins. They were just drinking away at the wine party. Paul Pillay, you know, just sending it there. Thinking this is a big party. And he's saying, you guys, you're still under the judgment of God. Because there's a realm of judgment where those who haven't been born again live. You don't want to live there. Rather get serious about this. Accept what the blood of Jesus did for you. And then you don't have to live sick and die prematurely. Amen? And you don't have to go to the table now asking yourself, is there some sin that the Lord can make me sick for? No, the bread is to make you healed if you are sick. And you healed on the basis of right standing with God. That the blood purchased. I don't know how we got it so far off. Hey Sean, somewhere, I don't know, we were just so clever. We took me 4 years of theology to confuse the simplicity of the gospel. I got educated way beyond my idiot box. Maybe you've got an area in your life you're not happy with, sickness-wise. Body is just not responding. This morning, without the choir playing in the background, without angels and Ronnie with these angels leading us, we, first of all, are going to say, if you're not born again, you've never submitted your life. You've never been recreated in your spirit. I want to tell you this morning, your sins have already been forgiven. You've just got to put your faith in Jesus Christ, in His death, burial, and resurrection. And the moment you do that, you're born again in your spirit. And then when you take this cup, you say, the blood of the new covenant for the forgiveness of all my sins. And if you're a believer, to examine your heart just means that. Have you correctly discerned how powerful the blood of Jesus is in your life? Let's share together. So that's the wrong order, Pastor Steve. Well, I'm glad I'm free because I want to focus on this morning. And he said, I'm glad I'm not a fundamentalist, but then I'm going to get emails from some people. I want to say to you this morning, we've discerned the blood. And I think as believers, we'll be getting it. But I'm saying to you, this area of sickness or physical struggle in your life that's preventing you from doing what God called you to do. See, that's why you're alive in this generation. In case you thought it was just for fun. That's why you're alive in this generation. Today. And not another generation. Just in case you thought you're just here by some accident of cosmic proportion and you got to get as much fun as you can. You know? He who dies with the most toys wins. Sorry for you. That's not why you're here. You're here to find out and do what God has called you to do. And in order to do that, you need your health. Anyone not happy with their physical health situation right now, stand up. You see what I mean? This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Because we don't want to stay in that condition. And this morning, we have access. Access card. Look at your communion bread and say to yourself, that's my access card. Into everything Jesus accomplished on the cross. By His stripes I was healed. Let's take the bread together, all of us. Just stay standing. In the name of Jesus, who died for your sins when He shed His blood and forgave you of all iniquity, forgive you of all iniquity. In that name, in the name of that Jesus, I command whatever sickness is on your body to loose you, to be gone, to be broken. I speak to you in Jesus' name. I say, bring your confession in alignment with the Word of God. And don't stop doing this, what we've done this morning, until you have 100% recovery. By His stripes, you're healed. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Take our seats. God bless. That's church today, guys. Have a wonderful afternoon. James Preston. Oh, wait. Everybody sit. Very important. Nearly as important as communion. Let's just come up. We're going to take the offering. Lock the doors. Lock the windows. Lock the fire escapes. Our next church, we're going to build a round church so nobody can hide in the corners when we take up communion. Take up the offering. We're going to take up our morning offering. And you just hang on, guys. Not so, whoa. Come back. Offering takers, come back. Communion takers are doing their job. Don't get muddled up now. Don't put the communion cups in the offering bag. And don't put your offering on the communion table. We give for the gospel. Amen. We're free from giving under fear and all that stuff. But our giving is for the gospel. We rejoice in this privilege. And it has been a month of long weekends and days off. So if...
We have some real significant
a picture in my mind as we were worshiping.